Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Marcia Firestone is with us too, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Marcia Firestone is the president and the founder of the Women's President Organization, WPO, Women's President's Organization, and she's here to talk to us. One thing she's going to talk to us about is a trip she made recently. We're also going to talk to her about whether there's a glass ceiling for female entrepreneurs. Marcia, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you back, and congratulations on National Business Women's Week. I just found out today that there's also a National Business Women's Month. March is National Business Women's Month. I mean, you guys get a month and a week.
Well, that's because March is Women's History Month.
Okay.
And they can't forget the business women during Women's History Month. So.
Well, what about, is there a man's history month?
You're in trouble because his is every day.
I knew she was going to say that, folks. usually you don't take those softballs, Marcia. You usually let those easy ones go. No, I was waiting. I've been waiting on some woman to say that. I've asked every woman that this week, and you're the only one that set it up like that. So that was good.
Okay,
you just got back from Vietnam.
I did.
Where in Vietnam were you?
Well, I traveled to several places, but I was at a conference in Hanoi for the Asian Pacific Economic Conference.
Formerly North Vietnam. Yeah.
True, absolutely true. Although right now, that's not what they're interested in. 60% of their population is under 21.
Wow.
So they were not alive during the war, mm-hmm. firstly. But secondly, they're really interested in economic development. And that is their main focus. They all want to do business in the U.S. I was interviewed three times by the media in one day to talk about business opportunities for the Vietnamese in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. What are those opportunities?
Well, I think there's a lot of manufacturing that is being outsourced by China to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that the U.S. Wants that manufacturing and that there are businesses who will pay to have it done. And certainly their labor is a lot cheaper and their quality, I believe, is higher.
Hmm.
Very good quality.
Higher than China?
Higher than China.
Hmm.
I mean, I was really impressed. I spent one day doing some shopping. I wish I'd had more time. And it was just amazing.
I usually run out of money before I run out of time, Marcia.
Well, that's true, except the prices were just incredibly
really?
Reasonable. Yes. I mean, you could have things made. I bought my daughter-in-law a gorgeous silk jacket that they made for her. I said size 2. They made it size 2. I brought it home.
Size 2?
Size 2. Fit her perfectly.
The women around here don't like size 2s. They don't like...
Well, don't forget she's in, you know, young.
Okay,
young,
she's just a
young
kid.
Daughter-in-law.
She's just a kid, okay.
Well, not a kid, but young. And a 2.
Yeah. Well, how did you find the people in Vietnam?
They were nice. I only had one incident where I felt kind of criticism, but the rest of the people were just very welcoming and very, and this is North Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And then we traveled down, by the way, to Central Vietnam, to Da Nang and China Beach, and one of my husband's friends is building a gorgeous resort on China Beach, which we visited it. And, I mean, it's just magnificent, one of the prettiest resorts I've ever seen. And, you know, you can't believe it because that was China Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about entrepreneurs and small business owners in Vietnam? How are they flourishing?
Well, there are a lot of them. I think that they're doing pretty well. The growth rate has been about 8% this past year, and it's continuing to grow. But the women-owned businesses are still not at the level that we have in the U.S. The U.S. has the largest women-owned businesses of the 21 countries mm-hmm. who are members of APEC. And then Canada, and after Canada, I would say there is Singapore, Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand. They have some really substantial businesses, with Singapore being, I would say, probably in third place.
What about this glass ceiling? You say that there is no glass ceiling for women entrepreneurs. Is there still a glass ceiling for women managers, employees?
I believe that the glass ceiling has been shattered for women entrepreneurs, and I believe it does continue to exist for corporate employees, managers. And the reason I say that relates to compensation specifically. We just did a study, and you know, this is not our study, but the Department of Labor reports that women are still being paid at 77 cents for every dollar that a man is making.
Now, is that across the marketplace or in certain sectors?
No, it's across the marketplace. That's
okay.
And is
that taking into consideration the fact that some women choose to work part-time or that sort of thing? Or does that take that into consideration? Does
yes,
it adjust for that?
Yes, it does.
It adjusts?
Women are still just not at the same level that men are.
And
They're
why is that?
Still underpaid.
Why is that?
Well, that's a long history of the differential that existed prior to civil rights laws,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't ever been made up or changed. And there are more men in higher positions. But a lot of women start their own businesses because they do want to make money,
mm-hmm.
and our survey actually validated it, that, you know, they first of all, it was a big issue for them being able to provide themselves and their employees equitable mm-hmm. compensation for work was one of the most important issues for starting their own company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and yet another reason, another factor, Marcia, in what I've been calling since the last century, the 21st century, which is the century of the entrepreneur, another motivating force for making the 21st century the century of the entrepreneur. We come back, we're going to talk some more with Marcia Firestone about the shattering of the glass ceiling for women entrepreneurs. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Dr. Marcia Firestone is our guest. She's the president and the founder of Women Presidents Organization. Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Marcia Firestone is our guest, and our good friend, Dr. Marcia Firestone, the president and founder of WPO, Women Presidents Organization. And Marcia, tell us a little bit about your organization, please.
Well, the Women Presidents Organization is a peer advisory group for women who own their own businesses, whose revenues exceed $2 million. Average revenues are $11 million. Average years in business are 20.
Wow.
Average number of employees are 94.
Wow.
In the aggregate, our membership is the size of a U.S. corporation. $8.5 billion in revenues.
Congratulations.
70,000 employees and 15,000 years of experience.
Wow. That's a lot of power.
It is a lot.
That's a lot of entrepreneurial energy, and it makes me very proud to know that all of that you just said is coming from people who made something happen from nothing, from a blank sheet of paper.
Absolutely.
And I'm so proud of those people, those women, as you know I am, Marcia, of women and men who make things happen like that. And isn't the, you know, when I think about Marcia, when I think about all of the all of the things that have happened the last 10 years, 20 years especially, but certainly 10 years, the technology and the way the marketplace has incrementalized and has opened up so many little niches for everybody, but especially women that have been able to get a foothold with very little capital in the beginning. You know, when I think about all of that, and the tax structure, the regulations that have some of them have been have been beaten back a little bit, and all of the just all of the opportunity, globalization. I think there's, you know, Lou Dobbs is, in my opinion, is dangerous, Marcia. I think globalization provides opportunities. I personally know American women business owners who are doing business overseas, and they would not tell you for a minute that globalization is a bad thing. It actually helps them to become successful.
And well, I think that's a number of our members feel that way, but I also have to say that a number of our members are also bringing back some of their manufacturing because they feel the quality
right.
is not as good. So
some places that is, as you said, in Vietnam, maybe it's better. But here's the point, Marcia. In the 21st century, we get to choose. Those are choices, aren't they?
Not only are they choices, but entrepreneurship. I think I was telling you, Jim, before, that I called entrepreneurship the great equalizer.
Yeah.
Because it's the one place where I think it doesn't matter whether you're a man, a minority, a woman, whatever you are, if you want to do well, you can do well.
Mm-hmm.
There are no inhibitors except yourself and, of course, access to capital.
Well, I don't think there's too many places where women go into banks like they did. Some of the women that I've interviewed, Marcia, who started businesses back in the 70s and 80s, where they said they went into the bank and the banker said, bring your husband back. I don't think that's happening much anymore.
I've seen a real evolution in the banks. I think the banks have really changed their tune because they recognize that their customer is the woman. Do you know that women make 89% of the banking decisions?
Mm-hmm.
So I think the banks are very aware of their demographic.
Plus, more bank executives are women.
Yes, and that's true.
Yeah, bank loan officers.
They're more receptive. I think that's an important point.
Mm-hmm. What is the percentage of women business ownership and of all businesses? It's approaching 50%, isn't it?
It's about 46%.
And when I started doing this show, Marcia, it was 40%.
Right. So it continues to grow. And as I started to say before, one of the reasons it's growing is because it is a place where you can compensate yourself better than in other places. 67% of our members rated starting their own business was as being motivated by wanting to earn more money. They rated that a 5 out of a possible 5. In other words, it's the highest rating.
Right.
So 67% of our members started their business. One of the most important reasons they started their business was so that they could earn more compensation.
Right. Marcia, I've got a minute left. What would you say to young women or any woman who would like to start a business in, say, 2007? What would you say to them?
I would say I think it's a great opportunity if you have a good idea, but make sure you do it right. Think it through. Get advice from professionals. Get some help from other entrepreneurs who can give you good, solid advice, and keep working at it day by day and keep the fire in your heart burning, because every day is not going to be easy.
Well said, Marcia. Marcia, give us your website again, please.
www.womenpresidents, with an S on the presidents, womenpresidentsorg.com.
Is this survey and your news release is available on the website there? No glass ceiling for women's
actually available. It isn't yet, but it will be on our website.
Thank you, Marcia. Dr. Marcia Firestone, ladies and gentlemen, with WPO, Women Presidents Organization. She'll be back another day. Quick break, right back with Andrea Nuremberg. We're going to talk about some networking right after these messages. Stay with us.
What is love?
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.